Apostle Arome is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ with a strong burden, desire, and commitment to seeing the church established by present truth and the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the apostolic leader of Remnant Christian Network Global, a fast-growing apostolic ministry headquartered in Makurdi, Benue State, Nigeria. Did I hear any of you say, can anything good come out of that? Amen. Oftentimes when you hear about Benue, you hear about headsmen and whatever and the like. Praise the name of the Lord. I said, praise the name of the Lord. You know, with a network of churches, ministries, and apostolic centers in Nigeria, across Africa, Europe, and North America that operate with the mandate to strive for the rebirth of apostolic ministry. He is also the chancellor of RCN Bible Seminary, the Adulam. Amen. And his ministry is in actively engaged in training, educating, and empowering believers to become effective and accurate kingdom functionaries within the church and in the marketplace. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. He's a prolific author, has written many books, some of which I'll be introducing to you later in the service, and you will have the privilege of being able to buy some of them. And he's committed to seeing God's kingdom and righteousness become every believer's number one priority. He's a husband of one wife, married to Dinah. And they have three children who all live in Makurdi. Amen. And in the last 2 days, they said, we have a privilege of having him in the house. We've also been privileged to have two great music ministers, you know, over the last 2 days, Minister Theophilus Sunday and Minister Eno Michael, who have had to leave for other ministry engagements. But we bless God for all of them, for the blessing that they have been to us at the King's Court. And so with a good God bless you, join me as I invite and welcome Apostle Arome Osai to the pulpit. Go on. Yes, let's bless the Lord. Let's bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Yes. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
So we give you praise, we thank you. We magnify your name because you are faithful. You are dependable. You are trustworthy. We cast our cares upon you because we are fully persuaded that you care for us. This morning, we ask that you stretch forth your hand. Take us beyond the line of limitation. Bring us into the context of destiny. Shine upon us. And let our faces never be ashamed. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please, you may be seated. You know, since I came, I've been hearing Pastor Ben, Pastor Ben, Pastor Ben, Pastor Ben. So I've met with Pastor Ben today. You're welcome. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, we'll just take a few scriptures and set the coordinates for the encounter that the Holy Spirit wants to bring to us today. Matthew chapter 6. Verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So that's going to be our anchor. That's Jesus' response to a request to bring education on the subject of prayer. He began by situating prayer within a certain context, a relational context. And in this context, the metaphor that was used for God is Father. So Jesus is attempting to tell us that the extent to which we are going to succeed in the enterprise of prayer is going to be dependent on the revelation of God as Father that we have secured. When we talk about Father, there is a temptation to think that because many of us here are fathers in our own right, that your model and practice of fatherhood is going to give you an insight into the kind of father that God is. I came to tell you that you are wrong. You are wrong because of two scriptures. I like to think that I'm a good father. But as wonderful as your example of fatherhood is, it cannot be compared to the context of fatherhood by which God is captured. Turn your Bible, just be patient. I know many fathers are agitated now. Well, let me take you to Matthew chapter 7. Clear your doubts quickly. Then we'll now be more adequately situated to partake of the emphasis of this morning. Now, in Matthew 7:7, the Bible says, "Ask and ye, it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." I just want you to see that the context is prayer. "For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and everyone that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will give him a serpent?" And this is Jesus' evaluation. Verse 11 is not my evaluation. It is Jesus' evaluation. He said, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Now, this is a comparative scripture. And if you have a red letter Bible, you'll find that it is captured in red. It's a direct utterance from the mouth of Jesus Christ. The verse is comparative in nature. And what is being compared and contrasted here is your own fatherhood in comparison to God's fatherhood. According to Jesus, it is evil. Nevertheless, not that you are an evil person, no. But if we compare your fatherhood, that fatherhood that you say, "Well, it is okay, my children are lucky to have me as their father." As powerful as what you have is, according to Jesus, in comparison to the fatherhood of God, your model is evil. And the fact that your model is evil doesn't stop you to give good gifts unto your children. It is not your benevolence in bequeathing gifts to your children that is a measure of your fatherhood on the same latitude as the fatherhood of God. He's just saving you all the trouble and giving you an executive summary that you can still give good gifts unto your children, but that doesn't make you, in comparison to God, it doesn't make you good. So there is only one that has the status of the kind of fatherhood that we are talking about, that Jesus is making reference to. And he said, in a greater measure, this our Father is capable to give good things to them that ask him. You will see that the operating system of this dimension, accessing this dimension of goodness that resides in God our Father, will be unlocked through prayer. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
The next question that will come from the congregation, some people are already asking the question, is, okay, now that you have come to tell us that you are evil, you need to take time to show us this our Father and then establish how that this our Father is different from us. Are you still with me? So in proceeding along that line, we can now go to the book of Matthew chapter 11. Let us get an accurate pathway of understanding our Father. Because according to Jesus, the extent to which you prosper in the enterprise of prayer is predicated upon your revelation of God as what? Father. Matthew 11, verse 27. This is still Jesus speaking. He said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So there are only two categories of people that know the Father. The chartered personality that knows the Father is the Son. And there are other privileged people that the Son has decided to reveal the Father to. So the standard approach to understanding our Father is to check Scripture to find every testimony that Jesus made about God as Father. Will give us an insight into the context of the fatherhood of God, which is going to create a very robust platform in our engagement, our relational engagement with God. Are you still with me? Okay. So, in view of the above, we need to go back to Matthew chapter 6 and begin our journey. Matthew chapter 6, we'll begin our journey. What we are trying to do right now is to find out what Jesus has to say about our Father, because that's the only way we can know him. It's only Jesus that knows him, and it's only Jesus that can reveal him. So we're going to walk through Scripture to find out what Jesus has to say about the Father. It will create context for us to build a relational engagement possibility with our God. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus begins. He said, take heed. Let me jump. It will take too much time. Okay. We need to look at definition of terms first before we can adequately engage. He said, take heed when ye do your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that there may be may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, that they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrite. Ah, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The first terminology we need to define is a hypocrite. Because in every spiritual thing that we do, there is an extreme and there is a possibility of becoming a hypocrite. Just like there is a giving hypocrite, there is also a prayer hypocrite. And we are going to find out what exactly makes a personality a prayer hypocrite. Because prayer is our emphasis for the morning. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. The Bible makes this statement. The statement that is made here is that the first item that Jesus raises about our Heavenly Father is that He is in secret. Second thing that is a twin insight there is that He sees in secret. He is in secret. And He sees in secret. Have you seen, God was trying to educate Prophet Samuel, and Samuel was making judgments based on externalities, external appearances, and God was trying to educate him. And God revealed where He sees, that He looks upon the heart, even though men look on the outward. It is the nature of men to analyze and criticize things by the way they appear in the natural. But our God has a different viewpoint. His emphasis for judgment, His emphasis for measurement is the status of the human heart. How many of you still remember the scripture that says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life? One of such issues of life is prayer. It's born from the heart of man. Your altar. That's your platform. It is from that place that actual engagement can take place. And the Bible says that our God sees in secret. Meaning, anyone that is going to have a profitable engagement of prayer must take his heart seriously. Because that's where God sees. It is possible for you to come and mouth prayer, but the altar, which is your heart, is in dissociation from that which you are mouthing. In the eyes of men, you might be a mighty prayer warrior. But from the perspective of God, you are a hypocrite. Because what you are doing is an external show that is not carrying on the posture of your heart. Now, in my little Bible study, I found out there are 13 possible positions that your heart can sustain. And only one is accurate. Your heart is the platform, is the altar. That's where your engagement takes place. That's where your altar is. That's where the sacrifices must come. I remember one of those times that God gave me an instruction. I was saving money to get married. I had saved 1 million naira those days. And my salary was 60,000. So imagine the labor the wisdom that went down in order to come up with that savings. And I was in prayer. And the prayer was so deep. I was lost. Hallelujah. Just like we were lost when the choir ministered now. In that atmosphere, you were loving. I was just loving God. And he spoke. He said, that money you saved, withdraw it. I said, no. That was that. You were there when I was saving this money. You didn't say anything. If you wanted me to give the money, why didn't you say, the money I was saving, let me just be giving you. It will save me the emotional heartbreak. It will save me all day. He spoke, and I couldn't deny that I had, because I had surrendered, and he spoke. Then I withdrew myself. I said, what just happened now? And I remember that the hand of God was so strong that I gave the money, but I didn't release it from my heart for another 2 weeks. So it is possible for you to actually give. But that act of worship did not proceed from your heart. And this one that is in secret, that sees in secret, will evaluate you from that standpoint. So if a man wants to do business with God, I mean deep business with God, the first thing that must be your priority, given the kind of God that we are engaging, is the state of your heart. The state of it. I'd like you to go back and study the heart for another 2 weeks. Then you'll be able to, to give you insight into why there are so many unanswered prayers. So many unanswered. It is because of the state of the heart. You will find God makes statements like, okay, you have a challenge with your brother, and you are coming to give an offering. It will be better for you to wait, stay the offering, go back, accomplish reconciliation before you come give that offering. You might look at it and say, this is just too hard. If you understand the doctrine of the human heart as a platform, the Talmud, that engages God, you will know how God wants your heart to be so sublime and so aligned and so pure and so empty of any form of accusation whatsoever, in order for you to be able to engage him in that light pliableness of your heart. You can secure God's hand under such circumstances. My experience is that the average believer is careless about the state of his heart, and he wants to engage God. And the Bible says that our God happens to be in secret, and our God happens to see in secret. It is this secrecy of engagement, just like knowing your wife within the chamber, that secrecy that you not put on display, that's the kind of scenario that a true prayer engagement is like. Someone can be in the service and is not violent about his own prayer. It's just, and you might analyze the person and feel that the person is not engaging. Based on human analysis, you are wrong. You don't know the waters that the person is swimming. And the fact that there is no emotion that carries the stature of engagement, you might conclude that the person is not praying. Just because you are looking at the outward. Are you still with me? So when I wanted to begin a robust prayer experience, the first thing I did was that I had to study the Bible to understand the nature of the human heart. Then I found out that the heart has great affinity for trappings of wickedness. Great affinity. And it is possible for the posture of your heart to be wicked, and you are not even aware because you are not looking. If you are going to do business with God, you will need to have a means by which you can evaluate your heart once and again. I remember my two kids, they were in my study room, and I was viewing them through the keyhole, and they were making plans on how to make me do something. And it was obvious that they knew me a lot because I saw the analysis that this one won't work. And the analysis was so detailed. And they came up with a position. That position was very accurate. But the reason why they lost the day was because I was viewing them in secret. You are going to be careless if you don't know that God is viewing you in secret. And many times we just come like that, not knowing that the great one, there are many things you stop doing if you want him that sees in secret to take you seriously. Your heart has a lot of accommodation for wickedness. It has a lot of accommodation for pride. Quiet pride. The type that we can disguise and cover with our suit. It has a lot of accommodation for all kinds of deceit. It can trap deceit. And you're working with deceit, but you understand the culture of King's Court, so you just blend in. And when you are doing blending in, you have become a hypocrite. Because you are majoring on the externalities. You are no longer conscious of the place that he sees. When you come to engage him, you are opening up. And everything that you have trapped in that heart becomes so visible for him to see. So someone that wants to engage must pay attention to the inner chamber. Because it is from that point that he will look. Then he will now analyze you. And then if he sees that your heart contains things that are distasteful to him, he labels you hypocrite. And a hypocrite has already received his reward. Are you there? Second thing I need to raise here before we go into detail. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
All right. When the average believer comes to God to engage him, we come to God to engage God so that our prayers can be answered. Is that true? If you read in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, he said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." In the eyes of Jesus, there is a difference between prayer answered and prayers rewarded. We seek answers. He wants to give us rewards. What is the difference between the answer to prayer and the reward for prayer? Because what that one that is not a prayer hypocrite is entitled to from the perspective of the Lord is beyond answers. He will give you answers, no problem. Have you read the scripture that says, "Call unto me and I will answer you"? And beyond the answers, God is still doing something. I will show you. You didn't ask for him to show you anything. You just asked, you called because you wanted answers. But he takes you beyond your answers into the context of rewards. Prayer is so critical that the size of your spiritual life can be measured by your prayer. So if everything you pray about is for me, is for myself, is for I, is for my son, is for my daughter, that's your size. You are small. When you begin to advance in prayer, what God does is that he increases your capacity, your scope of coverage. You can begin to pray for pastor, for the pastors, for the church, for the body of Christ. And you do that as a duty. You are beginning to
increase in scope. Are you there? So if something wants to happen to any pastor, God knows that you are faithful in the place of praying for pastors. So it is very likely that he will visit you with an insight. When he visits you with an insight, it is not consistent with your prayer schedule. It means God wants to use you to accomplish a prayer theme. Are you there? To create earthly permission for heavenly interference on a very specific subject. He activates you for that kind of prayer. Even though you have a prayer schedule. Are you there? He takes you beyond your prayer schedule at certain points so that you can partner with him to achieve something or to advance something. That kind of engagement is what we call prophetic prayer. It stems from an intelligence that came from the realm of the Spirit so that God can engage you to partner with him. It is that kind of prayer that God engages you to partner with him. Your faithfulness in that kind of response is entitled to a reward. Are you there? Because there is likely to be nothing that you are going to gain from that engagement personally. It is beyond your personal scope of engagement. That's when you become an existing infrastructure that can assist God to accomplish something in the earth. So God is hoping to take us beyond the self level to the service level. And when we arrive at the service level, he can now invade us and use us as instruments through which he can administer salvation. At that point, the emphasis is not answers. You will be rewarded for being available to be used at that level. So whereas the average believer seeks answers, God is looking for people that can actually do the work of intercession and supplication. To pray his own prayers. To such people God gives. What? Sometimes when you check the wives that God gives some people, it's a reward for faithful service. Sometimes when you see the favor that is working on the lives of some people, it's not a product, it's a reward for being available to stir up God's agenda and to accomplish the things that he wants to do in the earth. If for the past 20 years as an intercessor, the prayers you've been praying are prayers that you made up, prayers on your prayer list, prayers on your... it means you have not advanced very far in prayer. Because when you go into prayer and you advance far, God will invade your space and compel you to begin to engage prayer according to the preferences of his present revelation position in the Spirit. That's when you become an instrument. And because you are an instrument, you are privy to certain classified information that God makes available because he knows that you are in that level of service delivery. Secrets. Men like Simeon, he was an intercessor, praying the Lord's prayers. And part of the benefits that he received was that death could take him. He said, you will not see death until you see my salvation. And so when Jesus was brought into the temple, the guy didn't have text message, he didn't have an email. The Bible says that he came into the temple by the Spirit. The first thing he said when he came into the temple was that, oh my God, I've been praying to die for many years, but death has gone. Let us thou, thy servant, depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. You would think he was in a discussion. He was in a discussion with God. He was talking to God. You will see the secrets that connected him to God. That's a man of prayer. We can measure him based on those utterances and know that he's deep with God. If we check the prayer you pray, we can measure your stature before God. Hallelujah. So first of all, our God is in secret. And he what?
He sees in secret.
Now, I need to tell us what it means when the Bible says that our God is in secret. Is in secret. God has decided to limit himself to the spirit realm. By a royal decree, he decided to limit himself to the spirit realm. We may not fully know why, but that is what he decided, that he will limit himself to the spirit realm. So he is very visible in the spirit realm, very, very visible. But he is not visible in the natural realm. And many times when we engage God in the place of prayer, because he's not physically visible, many of us do not engage as if we were engaging a physically visible person. In order to help us with the insufficiencies of our human senses, God gave us spiritual senses. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, beginning from verse number 1. He said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, except, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The word see there in the Greek is eido. And eido means to perceive by reason of the use of senses. Perceiving by senses. That's eido. Now, this is the arrangement here. You know, while you were still in the womb, when you were 9 months in the womb, you had eyes, but your eyes were not meant for the womb. When you were 9 months in the womb, you had ears, but your ears were not meant for the womb. When you were 9 months in the womb, you had legs, but the legs were not designed for the womb. You had to be born physically before your eyes became relevant, because you entered into the dimension that was consistent with the use of the eye. Now, Jesus is saying that when you become born again, you have spiritual senses, but when you become born again, those eyes, those senses become functional. The Holy Spirit that is upon your heart, he takes advantage of the senses that you have to acquaint you to things that are obtainable in the realm of God. It is through these spiritual senses that our engagement with God becomes a very active, realistic, vital engagement. In my study of the Bible, I found 4 such senses. 70% of God's feedback system is predicated on the first sense, which is called the knowing of revelation. The knowing of revelation is one of the instruments by which we can perceive the things of God and walk with God on the platform of our engagement and intercession with him. If you go with me to the book of John chapter 13, John chapter 13, I will soon be through with my theory. Then we'll go to the practical session. Then we'll try to practicalize the things that we are learning. Because the kingdom of God is not in word. Yeah, John chapter 13, I can't see your scripture on the screen there. It said, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew, can you underline knew? Jesus did what? He knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. and suffer being ended, and the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things into his hands, Jesus, knowing that he was come from God, Jesus, knowing that he went to God. Are you there? He knew. That's a spiritual sense. I'm not talking about a gift of the Spirit. I'm talking about a spiritual sense. If you do not understand the workings of your spiritual senses, it will be very difficult for you to be fluent in handling the gifts of the Spirit. So what we are talking about here is not whether or not you have a gift. We are saying it is whether or not you have this Spirit. Because as long as you have this Spirit, those senses will be functional when you engage. Because that's the only way you can experience the three-dimensional possibilities that are obtainable in the realm of God. He provides the senses that will create the realism of your engagement. 70% of your engagement as you traffic in the corridor of prayer is established upon knowings of revelation. Knowings. Hallelujah. You are not following me. Well, because you are not following, I will not show you the other senses. You are not following. If you were following, we will go further. But maybe when you labor in the wilderness for a while, when you come back, then you will be eager to know the remain and know how to engage. The Bible says that our God is in secret. Is in secret. Satan has deceived a lot of people because of that inability to engage, the understanding the plane of engagement. It makes you think that prayer is trivial. If we were all tucked into the realm of the Spirit, you could see the mighty fires that your tongues create in the temple above. But all of that is hidden so that you can depend upon the senses that the Spirit of God furnishes upon your heart as signs of your engagement. So prayer is not plastic. Prayer is not a monologue. But you see, God responds with senses. And he speaks words that are spirit and words that convey life within the crucible of your heart. So if you know how to interpret the canvas, you will see the great and mighty things that are performed. Are you there? Or you are not there? How many of you have ever experienced this? You were engaging, and you knew that your prayer was answered. You just knew. It means that you are alive in the Spirit. That's a sign of spiritual health. You are alive. That's a sign. So the knowing of revelation. How many of you know when there's danger coming? There's that feeling. You lose your peace somehow. The peace is fractured. And it is so loud that it intercepts your mind. You know that something is wrong. That's also a sign of spiritual health. And I need to tell you, in the realm of the Spirit, a small sign is a representation of a big thing because he is in secret. How many of you still remember the story of Elijah? He was praying, and the impact and the effect of his prayer was appearing on the canvas of the sky. That's an illustration of how things well up in the Spirit area. He sent his servant. You go check that thing now. What is appearing there? What we are creating here to appear on the canvas there. And the seventh time when he went, he saw a little cloud that could be despised in the form of the hand of a man. And the prophet said, that is a sign of an abundance of rain. A small cloud. That thing you call small sign can be the difference between life and death. Because our God, he is in secret. So a man of prayer cannot afford to despise the little signs that arise upon his heart, occasioned by his engagement. Many of us do not understand the feedback system. As after night vigils, there is a sign. And you despise it. And that is what your prayer manufactured. That's the outcome. That's the feedback. I pray the Lord that at the end of this prayer conference, God will give us intelligence of feedback systems. Meanwhile, I can tell you by experience that when you have a broken piece, then you need to pray from 12 midnight to 1. You need to pray from 3 o'clock to 4. Then you need to pray from 6 o'clock to 7. Then you need to pray from 9 o'clock to 10. Round the clock. Go check your Bible. Every time there was an encounter in the book of Acts, every time, with exception of no time, it either came 12 in the night, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock in the evening, 9 o'clock in the evening. Check your Bible, the book of Acts. I speak authoritatively. Every time an angel appeared, every time something sovereign happened, every time the cloven tongues of fire came upon men, go and check the window, the time window. So when you have that broken piece, follow that secretary. It's either you will knock it off, or you will see what you are fighting. I want you to know that God designed you to depend on those spiritual senses. As the Spirit of God comes to be, oh my, you are not here. Okay, let me add one scripture before I proceed. He is in secret, and what? He sees in secret. Because he sees in secret, if me and you have a quarrel, I will apologize to you, whether I'm wrong or not. The reason is because I want to keep my connection. Conflict resolution between me and my wife is very easy. If she's wrong, she's right. If I'm right, she's right. It's very easy. Because I have something greater than my relationship with her to secure. If I lose alignment on that tarmac, I become vulnerable. Said I can die. I can be in an accident without knowing. No sign. Because I'm disaligned. You don't play with your heart. It is the airport. You don't play with it. Say, keep it with all diligence. I kept your brain in your skull. I kept your your spinal cord in your vertebral column. I kept your lungs in the ribcage. I kept your heart in the ribcage. But you keep your heart. I built no barricade for that. You will keep it with all diligence. For out of it, I what? So when I began to accept fault, whether she's right or wrong, I accept fault. She discovered that she was not growing. That I was the only one growing. So she now came and said she wants to. I said, you want to grow? I didn't know. I thought you liked receiving sorry. Go, continue receiving sorry. Yes, I'm relating with you like this because of the prosperity I have in my own relationship with God. That's why you are receiving this from me. This is not how I am. This is Christ flowing through my vessel. You are drinking and your flesh is there, being enlarged. Remain there. She now wanted to grow. She came for lecture and now told her my secret. This is how I operate. If you operate like this, you'll be able to pick, you'll be able to see God. Sometimes he will allow you to see him, his shape. So the crisis factor of my family life is on zero points. If you slap me, I will go. I won't slap you back. But by the next time you see me, I would have grown. You went with you. You won that day. Say, I slapped him. But God used that one to translate to value him that is in secret, that what? That sees in secret. You can win before men. That's the way of the hypocrite. Yes. In the meeting, I was the one. I took over. You took over? You will be dry. Your drought, the days of your drought have been extended. May not pray and know what it means to be in the good books of heaven. Because our God sees in secret. So, the knowing of revelation, that is the first spiritual sense, and 60% of God's communication feedback systems is built on that infrastructure. Paul was telling us in the book of 2 Timothy how he was able to survive persecution. There was no time that he was persecuted, flogged, afflicted, that he got broken. No time. He says, it is because I know him whom I believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him as against that day. That means there is no negative outcome that can come out of the culture. And his insulation is that he knows. So the question I need to ask you is, what do you know? We'll know what you know when you're under pressure. If you need to snap and explain yourself, you are not deep. You are shallow. You can't take shame. You can't take pressure. You need to answer. You have not started business. When you start business, you now know that man is small. Anything man can do is small. You wait on the Lord, because nothing moves in heaven except he speaks. People lied against me in the office, and people say, go and explain. For 4 years, I said nothing. After 4 years, on a solemn day, God, everything was exposed. And that's how my promotions were given to me. After many years, it was backdated. And the money that was supposed to accrue to me was accumulated and paid. Federal government saved money for me. That's how I built my house. I will not fight with you. No. He's so big that he has obscured you. The way you react will know if it is true. That you have the knowing, you know, I know whom I believed. That was his answer to the fact that the Roman scourge had no effect on his back. It didn't affect his conviction. It was deeper than where the scourge could touch. And he said, I know whom I believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I committed unto him as against what? That day. It is still by the knowing of revelation that we travel beyond this life in death. It is by that knowing that becomes our guideline, our navigation. When we were during COVID, our state said only 30 people are allowed in an enclosed environment. So we had 15 because I was preaching, making videos for people online. And then the police came to arrest me. And the guy that had the handcuff was shaking it, hoping to generate fear. He met a stone that day because I knew that his handcuffs and his guns had no power over me. It was a knowing that you cannot get from University of Lagos, so deep in my spirit. He came, counted the number of people, knew we broke no law, but he felt that since he has come here, it will be out of place for him not to go with an arrest. After all that trouble, you would think I stopped preaching the next day. I was there the next day. And they called him again and said, that guy is preaching again. He came the second time with his... Then he found out that no one was afraid of. So when they called him the third time that I was still preaching, he said, they know they, wait, that place, Mona, leave that place. Leave the man. Leave the man. Knowing what you know will stop you from being a partaker of the manipulation that takes place in your office. You can allow people to have their wrong opinion because you are in league with him that sees in secret. You explain too much. Every day you are explaining. That's a proof that you are shallow. You know nothing. In the book of John chapter 5, we see the secret of the ministry of Jesus. John 5, 20, 21. I'm going to stop there. You study the rest two spiritual senses. That's how you deal with a God that is in secret. You deal with him through senses. He said, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, that he, and he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. So the proof of the Father's love here is that he shows things. For the Father raised them up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickeneth those whom he will. The Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself do it. This is the sight of affection. It's a proof of love. When the Father shows you what he's doing. Jesus never walked out of the prayer room any day until he had seen what the Father wanted to accomplish. Then he goes out and he acts what he's seeing the Father do. Then he will tell you that he cannot do anything of himself. It's only that which he sees his Father do, that's what he does. For Jesus, the Father was not invincible, was very visible. And for you, Jesus should not be invincible. Because he gives us the opportunity to be able to see him, to see what he's doing, so that we can do likewise. Have you read your Bible? He said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you. It is only prayer people that have the opportunity to see the things that he's doing. So you can download every day before it starts and walk in it according to that which you have seen. I've walked like that for long. I know when if I travel, they'll bring my cups back. I was invited somewhere, they were calling me, I think in Onitsha. Calling me, 12 midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. We are expecting you. But when I pray, I don't see the road. There's no road there. And I didn't, I was confused. I prayed again. There was no road. I knew if I go, I won't come back. So the people that went to Onitsha to wait for me, so that they would pick me from Onitsha to Owerri for my next engagement, they set their car on fire. So if I had gone to Onitsha, I would have been in a burning vehicle. Suddenly there was an announcement that, okay, there's no movement. And they just wanted to cross. Boom, they set the car on fire. You can download your day in prayer. You stumble into accidents, you stop men with guns threatening you on the highway. You didn't download that day. You were not supposed to be on that route. God will tell you, you know, you need to download a sat-nav, a navigation system. This is where you will drive today. There is no road here. Life is not given to that form of chance that you think. There is a possibility for you to download it. The unseen realm is robust, and God gives us the senses to be able to fully participate in that layer of existence. These are the benefits that only those that know that God is in secret can draw. He is in secret. And what? He sees
in secret.
We are going to download some things today. Now. We'll download some things and then you will see. This is the decision I would have taken if I had this intelligence. This is what I would have done if this thing came to me. Those things that will make you effective, they are available in the realm of the spirit, but only available for those that will download it. Come with me a final scripture before we switch. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 24. Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the chosen people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Why? Next verse. Oh my. Can you give me 27? Is it possible? By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The power word there is endured. He did what? The reason why he could endure in what looked like a disadvantage was because he saw something. When you find people under pressure to behave in a certain way and they refuse, it is a proof that they have seen something. He's in secret. But it gives you the facility to be able to engage him in a very robust manner. So that your life, your response, your attitude, your confidence will be predicated, built on your intercourse with him in secret. So people will wonder why you don't press for things. Because you have confidence in him who is in secret. There is nothing that builds your faith life much more than your intercourse with God. You just know that he is able. He's able. Once upon a time, I went somewhere. And when I was there, they said there was a breakfast meeting they wanted me to attend. So I woke up in the night and I went to the Lord. I said, are you attending that breakfast meeting? And I prayed for 1 hour. Prayed for 1 hour, 30 minutes. And he said, yes, Lord, I'm attending now. So what are you saying? Then he gave me a scripture. And said, you are going to meet this man. This is his name that I gave him. Okay, I went for the breakfast meeting. I did the teaching on the scripture that he gave me. Then I pointed to the man, this is what the Lord said about you. And then I didn't know, it was a closed meeting. I didn't know that they will now put it on Facebook, put it. And then what I said came to pass. So meanwhile, in the eyes of men, that was a big thing, that you could talk about the future and it came to pass. I lived there. There was nothing significant about what I said. God have mercy. It's just intimacy. Meanwhile, they blew the story. Everywhere, in different countries. So that I need to put on spectacles to disguise myself with face masks to pass through some countries, pass through some airports, so that people will not recognize me. When that prophecy came to pass, the person was elevated. So some people now called me and say, this person that you prophesied about is, they're about to swear the person in. Don't you want to come there? I say, I don't understand. What do you mean? Come where? My duty, the service I rendered, have you even forgotten about it? He said, you can make some calls. I said, oh, you believe in your calls. That's why you are the way you are. I believe in my prayer. It is my prayer that produced that result. You believe in calls. You want to use your influence to make me visible? You believe that God that I know cannot make me visible? You are mistaken. I don't need human made visibility. If you know the stronghold that I speak about, you will be calm. You will wait. You will have the capacity to wait for him to be the one that is responsible for anything that happens in your life. You will have opportunities to promote yourself, but men of depth allow him to promote them. I'm going to stop there. Hallelujah. So that person now, the person, now paid for a ticket and arranged for my visa to come to that country. And now when they, during the swearing-in ceremony, I saw most of the prophets in Africa, in that place. And I knew that they came there for marketing. So what I did was that the hotel room that was booked for me, I refused to stay there because that's where most of those prophets will be. And God didn't tell me he was making me make a new friend. So I stayed in another place. And the dinner we're supposed to have in the evening, where all the celebrities and everybody will come, I was absent. And the people knew I was absent. And then I escaped the next day. Because when you have found him, you will know that no man can promote you. You will not seek what man can give you. This is the one that can depose kings and raise a man from a dunghill to cause him to sit among princes. If you prepare your heart well, you will know him. People will know you will no longer be tossed to and fro by circumstances, by phone calls. You have a depth and a root so deep that nothing can move you. We're going to stop here for this morning and pray. We're going to pray. A preacher invited me to come preach in the United States. I told him, according to the calendar of heaven, it's not time for me to start going to the United States. See, who is this African boy that we are calling to come and give a platform, and he's turning the invitation down? I said, the Lord has not sent me. So he went and investigated for many years. Then he found out why I didn't come. That you ascended the platform is not promotion. But if God is sending you, it is destiny. We are not looking for promotions. We want to fulfill destiny as is written concerning us. Because your life in the spirit is a story that God is telling from heaven. He wants to tell a story. If you are in alignment, then you can tell a story. Just like he told a story in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is written because there were men that acted under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So God was able to tell his own story in human history. He wants to tell a story through your life. How many of us will stay in his presence until he moves his hand? Until the king is willing to speak? Because there are times when there is silence in heaven and even God does not speak. Can you pay the price to wait? Nothing happens until he speaks. Nothing happens until he utters his voice. And when he does, there is nothing that can resist him. I speak to you as a young man that was in the village. I mean, the village that I was in, it was sacrilege for you to think that you could preach the gospel internationally. It was in that place, on my knees, that God spoke to me and said, you are going to take my message to the ends of the earth. In fact, when I told the members of our prayer team, I lost friends. Just telling them that I saw something. I lost friends. I lost friends. But it kept invading my spirit with those visions until my mind was renewed to accept it. What you need is God. What you need is God. I stopped running from pillar to post. Stopped trying to. In the office, I will never do anything for a superior to favor me. No. You won't even know. But you will discover when the Lord wants. He will take sleep from your eyes until you find that there is a young man there you need to favor. You will not sleep. I know that thing. Kanina kobela isuke. Esula makabroskai takamundele. What we want to ask God to do for us today is to activate our spiritual senses. Then you will discover that if your sight, if the instrument with which you see is just your eyes, then the Bible calls you blind. Why we look not on the things that are seen? For the things that are seen are temporal. For the things that are not seen, they are eternal. Activate the senses. Activate the senses. Cause the heart of your people to see the ocean of your might. Kuvelai tosihima by tokeba silo. Ramine Santoria, Valatos Kito Brendel, Cosia Labonde, Nesiato, Icopres, Camine Italia, Covina Manda Baboria, Seti Dahise, Seti Brantala, Cavesco Pantomina Labonde. Oh! Sile mede komana barat. Make me wise by the Holy Ghost. Make me wise by the Spirit of God. Make me strong by the Holy Ghost. Whoa. I want to enter into a new space of grace. I want to be made strong by the wisdom that is in your spirit. I choose you. Zima konde baba latabria. Aiko salibonde. Jemina kanta babola sabalata. Hey! Thank you.
He will cause you to be quick in understanding and in the fear of the Lord. And you will not judge after the sight of your eyes, nor the hearing of your ears.
In the name of Jesus. I beheld in the spirit and I saw a flame like a cloven tongue descend from heaven. And when I inquired, I found it belongs to an evangelist. There's an evangelist in our midst. And I can see that God has ordained to use you mightily in the area of deliverance. And that the scope of your operation is going to be in the southwestern part of Nigeria. The Lord is going to use you to bring witness, to bring glory to His name. And you are here this morning. And as I speak, the anointing will begin to come upon you. As I speak, the fire will begin to come upon you. Because today is a day that God has made, so that He will equip you with what it takes. But we have witness of His resurrection. Angels in this auditorium. There are seven people that are going to receive the gift of healing. Seven people. The fire of the gift of healing will come upon you. Then miracles will begin to take place. All kinds of miracles will begin to take place. Seven people. The fire of God will administer unto your life the gift of healing. The gift of healing. The gift of healing. One, two, three, four, 5, 6, 7. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. There's a woman in the congregation. You had an accident. You had an accident some time ago and you used crutches to support yourself. When you became better, you stopped using crutches. But what I'm seeing now is that the pain on that leg is coming back. Where's the woman? Come. Come here. You had an accident, you used crutches. When the area that was affected was healed, you stopped using crutches. But the pain is coming back. Where's the woman? You have 2 minutes to come here. I can help you with the pain. I can help that woman with the pain. You have 2 minutes. 2 minutes. I am waiting for that woman. You have 2 minutes. A woman. You had an accident. Used. But the pain is coming back. Now, in a moment, now let's find out from her before I pray for the sick. The miracles will continue even after the service until like 4 p.m. Some of you will go home and just discover that you are healed. Yes, woman, what happened to you? Two, seven. You broke your ankle. Oh, my. Okay. Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. Can we pray for this woman? From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, we banish that pain. We banish the spirit that is trying to apply the pain again, to contradict the glory that God has secured by this miracle. And so we banish it. Command it to dry up. Hey. Let the affliction go. And I decree that it will not return. Amen. Go, go, celebrate. Go, don't worry. You have an opportunity to receive a miracle right now. And we have 9 minutes for that. You have an opportunity. So any sickness whatsoever, is it high blood pressure? Is it something with your eyes? Something with your hearing, you have an opportunity right now to receive a miracle. Put your hand where the sickness is right now. Put your hand where the pain is and trust God for a touch right now.
because the Lord Jesus will pass through this auditorium and he will put his hand upon you. He will put his hand upon you. Oh my God. Oh my God. Lord, we give you glory this morning. We give you praise this morning. We thank you because of your healing power, your grace to work miracles, to do signs, to do wonders. Now I bind every spirit of infirmity. I bind every pain, every affliction, every curse, every covenant, every spiritual liability of darkness. I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the yoke of the devil. I command the pain, go. I command the sickness, go. I command the blindness, go. I command the deafness, go. I arrest the spirit of paralysis. I say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh my God. That near miracle syndrome situation, I arrest it in the name of Jesus. Oh. I'm seeing delay 6 months. I'm seeing delay 6 months. Right now, I break that yoke of that delay. In the name of Jesus, let there be actualization in Jesus' mighty name. I command pains on the legs to go. Pains on the backbone, back, go. Pains on the waist, go. In the name of Jesus. That migraine, I curse it. I curse it in the name of Jesus Christ. I command it to go in the name of Jesus. A woman that cannot sleep. And if you sleep for a moment and there's a little noise, you wake up and it's so impossible for you to get back to sleep. I see the demon. The demon that is responsible for that is sitting on your head. I can see it. Now I arrest you. I arrest you in the name of Jesus Christ. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go. In the name of Jesus. Someone here, you were confronted by someone that threatened you, and since that day, your blood pressure has been high. Put your hand on your chest. That one. I command that blood pressure. Normalize. 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 In the name of Jesus. Someone has been healed on the leg. I see the pain has walked out. It has walked out. Yeah, the migraine has walked out. The migraine has... Yes, a chest condition has walked out. You can check the chest. The pain on the chest is no longer there. I speak to those eyes. I see in the name of Jesus. I speak to those ears. Hear. Hear in the name of Jesus. Someone with symptoms of paralysis, it has been arrested as I speak. Sometimes you don't feel life, but it's been arrested. There's something like a heat that is coming upon you. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet to restore life. My time is spent. God bless. Well, Pastor has, I'm finding expression under his authority. And that's his authority. So he has reviewed. that's his question. Hallelujah! Now,
This one I see is about Nigeria. Can we pray a prayer? Because what I just saw now, like a flash, is a plane crash. But we can stop it. That's why I came here. We can stop it. Can we stop that plane crash? We can stop the plane crash. We can stop it now. We refuse it. We arrest the demon behind it. You do not have permission to do that. Not this year. Not next year. Not ever. Lord, release your angels in the name of Jesus. Oh, hey. Oh. We bring it to an end in the name of Jesus. It is done. It will start as if it wants to happen, but it will not happen. It will not happen. Can we pray one prayer again about Nigeria? Let God have His way. Is that a good prayer? Let us pray. Have your way in Nigeria. Have your way in the name of Jesus. Have your way in the name of Jesus. Have your way in the name of Jesus. Abrose katadi makantelia. Sumina laiko panseli. Alababosate kade boboria kamatandela. Mary asuke brenda babokotala. Ialebo senda ite. Labo Santoria Babarantele. In the name of Jesus. Now you can check your body quickly. This is the drill. If nothing happens, don't say anything. But if something happens, don't keep quiet. I see some engineers. They are working on someone's ear. Some engineers. And the person I'm speaking about is beginning to receive improvement on one of your ears. One of your ears, from what I see, is blocked. And you are receiving attention right there. So check that ear now. So if you notice there is a change, we'll take three testimonies and then we'll pray a general breakthrough prayer. Then I'll take my seat. If there is a change, you come here. But check it first. Make sure it's true. So while you are trying to come, while you are trying to check, we'll continue with word round. There is a prophet that came to this service this morning. You may never have prophesied before, but the prophetic anointing is going to come on you. It's going to come on you in the next 17 seconds. Your final wiring, recalibration, to be tuned to God's frequency, will take place by that anointing. It's already coming. It's already coming stronger. The anointing is, yeah, it's released from heaven already. It's in the hall. It, deposits, measures of it are coming upon you. Measures of that anointing coming upon your life. Measures of it. And it's becoming stronger. It's becoming so strong right now. So that you can hear and you can see. You can hear and you can see like a prophet.
so that you can hear, so that you can see like a prophet. Let your spiritual eyes open, 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 open. It is the will of God for that measure of grace to increase in your life. Praise! Praise!
There are two angels here, and one of them is going into the congregation. There is a lady, the presence of God used to visit you at the age of 13. You lost that presence. It's coming back. It's coming back so strong. It's coming back. You were designed to carry the presence of God from place to place, to place, to place, to place. Let the anointing of his presence rest. Let it rest upon him. From Imo State, that's all of the information. The Lord is opening your spiritual ear. You will be hearing him as if you are hearing an audible voice. In the count of eight, the anointing will hit you. You are from Imo State. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Ushers, can you help me find that person from Imo State? I need to touch you. The hand of God is on that person so strong. You can't miss the person. Your spiritual ears have been opened. And when the Lord speaks, it will look as though it is audible. We give you praise. Can you arm yourself with a microphone? Let's find out what's happening there. Let it open in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Yes?
2019, during my youth service, I was playing football and I stupidated my right knee. So I've been having some intense pains in there. Sometimes it comes and goes. Then on Friday, the pains have been heavily intense. So I came for the video. After the prayer, a little of the pains went. But in the service, the pain was like a needle pinching the right knee. Then after I laid my hands on the knee, during the prayers, after I took off my hands, I could not feel the pain anymore.
You can't feel it anymore.
I can't feel it anymore.
Yeah, you are healed. Can you give him glory, give him praise? I am looking for someone that God has healed the ear. That's the one I'm looking for. There's a massive improvement in your hearing on one of your ears. I need to see you. Yes?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I've been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis for about 2 years.
So what are the symptoms of that?
Pains in the joints.
The joints, okay.
Inflammations and the rest.
Okay.
I've literally been taking drugs for over a year now, every day, because of pain. But as you were praying, immediately you said, check yourself. I normally used to have a friction at this hand and my neck. Immediately you said, check yourself. It was as if they poured grease on it. It's so free. It hasn't been like this for a long time.
Somebody shout hallelujah, hallelujah.
We give you praise. We give you glory. Yes, it's permanent.
Praise the Lord.
I am waiting for that person that God has helped one of your ears. I'm waiting for that person. Yes, sister.
Praise the Lord. For like 5 years now.
5 years?
Yes.
On your joints there. Now, wait. See, the angel is shaking me. All right? It means there's someone here that he's touching because he's shaking me. He's touching someone here. And his hand will come. It will come stronger. To come stronger. Holy Ghost, help me find that one. Help me find that one. Now, bring that person. Bring it. He has desire to put this anointing upon you for a long time. A long time. Grace. You see, I see a trumpet. If we push further, now, someone will begin to prophesy. If we push further, the gift of prophecy will be activated because I see it. It's released in the spirit. It's released already in the spirit. So in a few moments, the anointing will come on somebody and the person will begin to prophesy. I see it in the spirit. It's coming stronger. Receive the gift of prophecy in the name of Jesus Christ. Four people have been anointed now. Four people. I sense the anointing, and it's coming strong on you. It's an equipment. Oh my God. There's an anointing coming. It's coming on four people. One, two, three.
Talking, I perceive as if they pour water under my
you
palm.
Perceive as if they pour water on your body.
Yes.
And you can't feel the pain.
I can feel the pain again.
And somebody shout hallelujah. I'm seeing someone that was wrongly accused. You received judgment even though you were in the right. You were not given an opportunity to clear your name. The Lord has risen on your behalf. And you shall see a sign. Yes, what happened?
Hello. I'll say a very big thank you.
Is the mic working? Is it there? Okay.
Yes, I want to say a very big thank you. God is alive to me. I have a problem in one of my ears.
Okay, you have a problem.
But now I can hear very well now.
You can hear well.
Now that's not good enough for the Lord Jesus.
I'm seeing oil is flowing like a stream. Oil. Now, after today, you will know what breakthrough is. Breakthrough. When the Lord removes the obstacles, bedeviling the destinies of men, and allows them passage to be ushered into His grace, you will know what it means. You will know. You will know. Yes, what happened to you?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so my testimony is from Friday, but I didn't give it on Friday because I needed confirmation. Okay. And so for about...
I like confirmation.
So thank you, sir. Amen. So for about 3-4 years, anytime I go to the toilet, I would stool blood, like profuse blood, not droplets. Not yes, okay. Very, very significant amount of blood. And then I had gone to the hospital, I did a colonoscopy, and then the doctors didn't see anything. There were no symptoms of pain, just the blood. I didn't feel anything. So, So outwardly, it didn't look like anything was wrong with me. But when I go to the toilet, I'll be so scared. But on Friday, when you said we should put our hands on wherever we had issues, and then you mentioned the name of Jesus 7 times, I've been to the toilet 2 times since then. That night, Saturday, I didn't eat anything after the video. I just went home, and then... there's no sign of any blood anymore.
Can somebody give him glory? Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise.
We give you glory, we give you praise. We are diligent to acknowledge you as a doer of every good thing, a worker of miracles. Be thou exalted. Be thou magnified. Oh my. Oh my. You see, we have to stop now. The reason is because something is coming. If this one comes, it will be difficult. So let's give him praise. Just worship him. Oh, we have one more person here. Okay.
I thank God. My testimony is, for many years, I've not been able to hear loudness directly into my ears, like even using earpieces.
Okay.
So, this, when you say we should lay our hands on where we have issues, I placed my fingers in my ears.
Your ears, yeah.
And as soon as I did that, I had to get an earpiece, a pair of pieces.
Have you tested?
So, yes, sir. I made sure I put a very loud music so that I could confirm. But see, now I'm not feeling that pain anymore.
Somebody shout hallelujah! We give you glory. We give you praise. Glorify your name. Now you can pray for yourself in the next 2 minutes. It's your morning. It's your Sunday morning. You can pray for yourself and make a request right now. I command so se la parosa si cobanteli.
thought it was Nathaniel Bassey. You were playing that thing like, amen. Glory to God. You caught my attention. I said, is that Bassey? And we give you praise, oh King. Oh my God. There is a woman here. The Lord has heard your prayer. I see an angel of the Lord standing before you. Oh my God. For you are an intercessor. For you labor in the closet. The angel of the Lord is coming to strengthen you because of the pressure on you. So there's strength coming. There's strength coming on you. There's strength coming on you. Yes, so that you can be encouraged. You can know that you're not alone in that war. Strength comes. Strength comes by the hand of God. You are not alone. We ask, oh God, that you will do wonders in our lives during the course of this week. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let every limitation, everything that hinders, everything that resists, let it be taken away in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.